Turn to somebody to your left and to your right en groet hulle ernstig met Jesus liefde. Groet hulle ernstig met Jesus liefde. Love you guys. Do you love me? You better. You better. Hallelujah. Okay, now that you've greeted everybody with the love of Jesus, high five them with your own love. Come, just share some love. High five them. There you go. Hallelujah. Well, it is now officially on record that, and I accept all responsibility, we've probably broken every COVID protocol that there is. May God have mercy on us. Hallelujah. It's my privilege to share the word of God with you this morning. I'm super excited for this year, and people make New Year's resolutions and say, hier is die jaar. And all I know is that the word of God says that this is the day that the Lord of May has made. So I choose to believe that this is the year that he has prepared. Is that okay with you guys? I don't know what 31st of December 2022 looks like, but I know that God's already there. Hallelujah. Excited about it. For our first time visitors, we love and appreciate you. Thank you for coming. Moenie toelaat dat ek jou afsit nie, asseblief. Ongelukkig is ek die pastoor in die Here van hierdie gemeente, but just get over it. If you come here expecting to hear the word of God, that's what you're going to receive. If you're looking for some preacher to impress you, sorry, where? You're going to be bitterly disappointed. Are we ready to receive what the Lord has for us this morning? Hallelujah. So many, many years ago, I got this image from the Lord. And this is a sound guys, get it ready. I got this image, not a vision, but this image. And it made such an impact on my life. I decided that I need to draw this. And I took pastels. And I drew this image as best as I could depict what I felt the Spirit of God was laying in my heart. Little did I know, this was the days when gay still meant happy and the Dead Sea was still alive. Moses played fullback for Israel. This is a long time ago. And I drew this based on what I felt the Lord had laid on my heart. Little did I know that, what's today's date? On the 9th of January, 2022, the Spirit of God would prompt me to use it as part of the sermon illustration. I had these crazy ideas that, look, I'm not an autistic person. I mean, I can draw like stick figures and it's pretty great. But I had these crazy ideas that one day we'll auction this picture and we'll be able to use the money that we get, because it's going to sell for huge bucks. We'll be able to get the money to put it towards the building fund at the church I was part of then in Midrand, our head office. Formerly known as Bikers Church Midrand, it's now Life Central. And I had this idea that I'm going to sell this one because this is like a work of art and this is from the Lord. Yeah, famous last words. I like that image to come up. And it doesn't look like that. It actually looks a lot better. its aspect ratio is a bit out. But basically the image that God gave me was Christ or compromise. In a world of Christ, or in this world of compromise, choose Christ. Because he was pierced for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And the blood of Jesus washes away worldliness in our lives and causes compromise to go. Now, you cannot see it there, but if you press in closer to the picture, there's an outline or silhouette of what I thought Jesus might look like. And this morning, we're launching this theme. It's going to be interrupted next week as we proclaim the fast for the congregation. But this theme is Christ or compromise. Everybody say Christ or compromise. Folks, we're in an age and an era, and it's been like that. There, you see, give the sound engineers a round of applause. Yeah. You can't see it, but over here is a silhouette of Jesus. And I believe what the Spirit of God laid on my heart was, are you going to choose Christ or are you going to choose compromise? The foundation scripture I'd like to kick off with that is the following. Sit julle lekker daar, so julle moet concentreer, ne? Swaat julle, lief julle, ne? Okay. It says, the scripture says, don't be like the world. Don't be like the world. This world, as we know it, its system, its values, its leaders, live, teach, preach, eat, breathe, give, compromise. Compromise for the Christian is a challenge. For some people, it's acceptable. Ah, come what may, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. But for the Christian who's resolute in pursuing Jesus, his presence, his purpose, his character, and his nature, compromise, my brothers and sisters, has no place there. Can I get a roaring amen this morning? We're at the place, long al, waar ons sal moet besluit. Gaan ons Christus volg of gaan ons compromise? Wat is compromise in Afrikaans? Jy gaan, kom help my. Nee, hy is Afrikaans. Compromise in Afrikaans. Compromise in Afrikaans is compromise. Jy sal moet besluit. Gaan jy Christus volg of gaan jy compromise? Jy, ek weet nie, ek gaan by die woord uitkom. Ek weet, iewerste is die Afrikaanse gem hier binneste. So that's what we're going to speak about. Okay? And when we speak about compromise in the Christian sense, get us ready for Galatians 5, guys. When we speak about compromise in the Christian sense, often the Christian compromise. Geef vir Google a hande klap. En in a sin, ek weet nie hoe dit gaan werk nie, jy gaan compromise, maar compromise beskryf die algemene ding, maar ek sê, die man is besig om te compromise, jy kan dit nie sê nie, hy is besig om te compromise, okay, so, in the Christian sense, when we speak about compromise, the Christian mind wants to go to the list in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 says the following. Are you ready? Galatians 5 verse 19 to 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Woe, dit klink soos nag, julle, dis net, dis erg hier so hoor, dis glad nie aangenaam nie. Verse 21, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, listen carefully, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me say it in plain, simple terms. Anyone living that sort of life will not make it into heaven. Let's just leave that. So when we speak about compromise, we think of that list. And that's fine. We're not going to concentrate on that list this morning. I believe God wants us to look at three other areas that are perhaps a little bit more subtle than that list in Galatians, but just as lethal to the Christian walk. Just 3 points. Is that okay? How many of you are ready to digest 3 sermon points this morning? How many of you is al klaar? Ek jou moeg gepreek. Right. So, that's not what we look at this morning. We look at these 3 points of compromise. They're perhaps a little bit more subtle, but just as lethal. Point number one is the following. An area of compromise is what we think and what we say. One of my favorite things to do to check myself, to check my heart, to guard my life, and to watch and to see where I think I am at in my walk with Christ is the following. I picture myself. Imagine if I had a nice, how many of you enjoy a nice, crisp, clear, high resolution, high definition screen of any kind? Whether it be a cell phone or an 85-inch LED, LC, plastic, fantastic Samsung in your home. How many enjoy a high resolution screen? Some of you. How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. I like a high resolution. I like not being able to see pixelations and okay, let me just stay focused here. And I challenge myself with this thought. Moz, imagine if you walked around, instead of with a frown on your forehead, and I could buy a plekkie so for a ten minste 8-duim flat screen. Imagine if on my forehead I had a high-definition screen depicting my thought life every moment of my waking day. What would the world think of me, sir? This pastor, this preacher, this Himmelbestormer, this happy clappy Jesus freak, this guy that says I'm riding for the sun. What would the world see inside here and here? Would it be something that draws people to Jesus Christ? Or would it be something they think, he calls himself a Christian? Really? What I think and what I say is an area where I can compromise like this. God is challenging us on this, folks. Areas of compromise. Are we going to choose Christ or are we going to choose compromise? Why is the area of our thought life so powerful? Why is it so significant? Psalm 119 in verse 14 from the Passion Translation says this: so may the words of my mouth and my meditation thoughts and every moment of my heart be always pure and pleasing and acceptable before your eyes, Yahweh, my only Redeemer, my Protector. The King James says, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Now picture this. This is the context in which the psalmist received this from the Spirit of God. That you as a person, you're at the altar of life. You're at the altar of the completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And you come with your life as an offering, a living sacrifice according to Romans 12 and verse 1. And this is the sacrifice that you bring to King Jesus. Your thoughts. The meditation of your heart. What is it that you bring to put on that altar, my brother, my sister? Is it love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and self-control? Or is it that list that we've just looked at? A thought life. What we think and what we say. You see, I can stand up here and say, hallelujah, praise dear, bless you, brother. People ask, Mozzie, how are you going? I say, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored because it's the truth of the word of God, even though sometimes it's not fully yet manifest in my life. I speak positive things all the time. But I'm not going to be remembered for what I said. I'm going to be remembered for what I've done. I'm going to be remembered for the fruit that is in my life. Sir, ma'am, how about you? What are you going to be remembered for? Let's quickly relate this to sport. He's a golfer. You know, can golf spiel word. Niels takes a little white ball when it's in front of him and he hits it away to go and find it again. Why? I don't know, but that's his thing. And it's lekker and it's good. And he knows I love him. That's why we can banter each other like that. But you get people, they excel in their sport. And here's the deal. Whatever and whoever your sporting hero is, I like guys that can take two wheels and an engine and just make stuff happen. But that hero of mine, he is only as great and as wonderful as his last result. Somebody speak to me. He's only as great as his last result. Your greatest team, your greatest whatever, they're great till they're not great. Dan wil jy hulle sommer afskryf. Hello. And what about me, my walk with God? Am I going to be remembered for what I thought and what I said, or the lasting legacy of the kingdom of God in people's lives? What are you going to be remembered for? So point number one is what we think and what we say. Our thought life is so crucial and critical to us because Proverbs 23 and verse 7 in the New King James says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So gentlemen, how's your thought life? Gentlemen, how is your thought life? Gentlemen, when we surfing the internet, on our phones or wherever, and whoever sends whatever, some link to some site where the ladies are almost dressed, and you decide to have a second, a third, and a fourth look. Gentlemen, can I get an amen? Ooh, those are baie stil hierson, eh? Ons praat hartsake hierson, eh? What does my thought life look like? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Can we go to point number two? Quickly, the guys are saying, move on, Mozzie, move on. Point number two. And I have a challenge with this. I'm a growing boy. Snotkop light die nog nat achter die ore. I learned this many years ago. Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. There's a subtle difference. If you try and prioritize your schedule is always going to dictate to you. Because listen, folks, everything is urgent. I don't know what kind of work you do, but the work that the first employment I've ever had, everything is always urgent. But how much of it is really important? Huge difference. Huge difference. So I learned this along the way to try and be a better steward of the time that God has entrusted to me. Time management. And I went on courses and lectures and listened to people that really, I think you, these guys, they're so cool. They're so smooth. They roll uphill. And these guys know how to manage time. And I'm going to speak life of myself. I used to battle with time management. Plan all of these things or whatever. And at the end of the day, I look back and I've achieved little to nothing. But I've been super busy. Oh yeah, I'm going to quote my. I've been super busy. Never confuse busyness with productivity. Can I get an amen? Hoeveel rallies was jy by hierdie jaar? 7 in 2011.6. En hoeveel day jobs het jy gedoen? Amal. Okay, waar is die vrug? Where are the people who are born again and are now? Used to be following the devil and now following Jesus. Now, all thy busyness. Where's the fruit? Don't ever confuse busyness with productivity. So time management, folks, is an area where we can compromise in our lives. Why is it so important? As my tyd, kan aan my maak wat ek wil. It's not your time. Every heartbeat is a gift from God Almighty that you have nothing to do with. Every breath you take, every move you make, every turn, I'll be watching you. Remember that song? I don't know the rest, and I just, God bless whoever wrote that song. But every move you make, every breath you take, folks, should it not be for this and this alone. His kingdom come and his will be done. If I'm not focusing the time that God gives me to do that, what am I doing? I'm wasting precious time. How do we do this? So now here's the challenge for the believer. Are you ready to be challenged this morning, church? Come on, time management. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17, the New King James. See then, this translation, and only this says it just like this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Everybody say, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That's what the Word of God says in our time management. One of the greatest challenges regarding time management for the Christian, and I find myself in this place, is finding the kingdom balance. Please say balance. One of the hallmarks of the kingdom is balance. Finding the kingdom balance between these two scripture verses, I'm going to clap with you quickly. En het kom uit Prediker, né? Salomo. You got to understand that his writings here comes from a man in his backslidden state. Hello? So let the Spirit of God quicken the truth and give you revelation of what has been said here and what God chose to include in the scriptures. And Solomon says two things. He makes some ridiculous statements in his backslidden state, and he makes some statements of truth that we can hold on to. All right, so you need the discernment and leading of the Holy Spirit as you meditate on these scriptures. The first thing, Ecclesiastes, Prediker 1 and verse 14. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. This is the wisest man who walked the face of the earth besides Jesus, not you. Okay, it's gone right over your head. But this hope, God gave him wisdom. And he says, I've checked everything out. And it's all meaningless. That's the one thing he says. Okay? So just shelve that. The other thing he says, in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 15, he says, so I recommend having fun. And this is the part that I smock. That's, I mean, it's in the Bible. The Bible says have fun. So I'm going to have fun. And after I've had some fun, guess what I'm going to have? Fun. Say fun and smile when you say it. Fun. There you go. Some of you smiled for the first time today. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church? So I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world. There's the key. There's nothing better for people in this world, he says, than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along the way with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. So, to recap, what we put on the shelf was, he says, I've checked everything out under the sun, everything that's happening, and it's all meaningless. This is Nitta Lewis. It's a mors van tyd, mors van geld, and I'd buy a gehad. I say it's all meaningless. And then he says, there's nothing better for the people in this world to have fun and enjoy everything while you can. The challenge for the Christian in time management, in terms of Christ to compromise, is to find the kingdom balance between those two. Because, first of all, it says the people in the world. For the people in the world, we have to decide, church, are we people who are wanting to live in the kingdom of God? I don't want to talk about heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14, 17. Or are we going to be people that are in the world? Some of you staring at me blank. It's not complicated. You have two choices. One of two. Are you going to choose to be in the kingdom of God or be in the world? Got it? Get it? Good. One more time. Are you going to choose to be in the kingdom of God or in the world? Because it says for the people of the world, there's nothing better than to have fun and ganaan and it's lekker. But maar wat van Christenskap? Some people think it's because of Christians to blame. I'm the number one culprit. Some people think that Christianity is boring and there's no fun, there's no thrill, there's no challenge. Rarig. Tel net bikkie jou kruis op 'n daaglikse basis en dan kom wandel saam met Jesus bikkie. And you will experience the ride of your life. You will see what a big, fat, silly, willy-nilly liar the devil has been when he's told you that this what the world has to offer is the definition of fun. That's not fun. That's a lie from the pit of hell, man. Five of you believe it. Fun in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, woo-woo. Mm-mm. I need me some Holy Ghost presence. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give me an amen. You get people that they're all excited like that. They just, why? They know and experience and enjoy the presence of God. They, like the Apostle Paul, according to 2 Timothy 1:12, there or thereabouts, I say this of myself, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. Lankal nie meer nie. I don't believe in Jesus. I know Jesus. I've had the privilege of meeting him face to face, but I couldn't look into his face. It was too much. I was down. And when you experience that and the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there's nothing that this world or Satan or any demon can even come close to giving you to compromise with. Nothing comes close. So this time management thing, let's move along. We've got one more point. Man, I'll do my best to finish it because next week we have to proclaim a fast. So, being led by the Spirit in all we do, we can really enjoy a life that is full of joy and at the same time being productive for the kingdom of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. Redeeming the time as we're led by the Holy Spirit means making use of every opportunity that God gives us to advance His kingdom and not just focus all of our attention on having fun. Let's remind ourselves of what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek what first? What must we look for first? Okay, let's try that again. What did Jesus say we must look for first? Yes, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then, that's the key. So many times we just speak, seek the kingdom of God and all righteousness. All these things will be added. The righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. The righteousness is key. Seek first the kingdom of God and then and all these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. No compromise, no dilly-dallying, meddling in the world, one foot in the kingdom of darkness, one foot in the kingdom, and trying to decide who you are, what you are, when you are. Seek first the kingdom of God, and King Jesus promises you, as you seek his righteousness, all these things. The older I get, the faster I was. And if you're a biker, you'll know what that means. I've learned this, that there's been so many times in my life, and I pray that this just impacts you the way it's busy impacting me and changing me as a man of God. There's been so many times where I thought I knew what I wanted, whereas all along, God knows exactly what I need. Listen carefully. I thought I knew what I wanted. Really, Moz? Shame. Where all along, God knows exactly what I need. Last point, and I'm going to land this as fast as we can, because I need the deep end back up to minister to us. Louis, did you write that first song? That's the kind of creativity that can flow out of Louis. But anyway, it's time that you wrote us a new song, sir. Jesus loves you, and I have this wonderful plan for your life. All right, so point number three is laziness. Now, fortunately, nobody in this church is lazy. Not one of you. But you know other people in other churches that they are so lazy, the only exercise they do is jump to conclusions and run around telling stories. So laziness. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Verse 9, but you, lazy bones, that's people in other churches, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little extra slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Where was I? Here we go, verse 11. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. And here's Suzuki bandit, a thief, a criminal. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit because you're lazy. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Ouch. How many of you have ever actually, literally, and no jokes now, been attacked by an armed robber? The last person that tried with me is still looking for a place to land. When you're attacked by an armed robber, does he like any word? He sneaks up on you because he's a coward, and he's probably outgunned you and outarmed you, and evaluate. And if you're lazy, scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So, here's the deal. We need to rest. Even Jesus rested. Even Jesus rested. Somebody, and I think it was Martin Luther King said, if I rest, I rust. And it sounds all cool and a wonderful play on words, but it's not wise. Even Jesus rested. So, and the theory was that if I stand still long enough, the grass is going to grow under my feet and I'm going to rust. I'm going to, no. Everybody needs to rest. But you don't rest as in kapados when you're in church. I by the grace of God, I preach, try and preach in such a way that jy moet wakker bly hierso. So you don't come here to kap a dos. Jy dos by die huis, of iwers te, hello. Nudge your neighbor next and say, wake up. I said that once in a sermon, and the wife hit the husband so hard, she hurt his ribs. But anyway, maar hy was vast in die slaap. He got what was coming to him. Even Jesus rested. Luke 8 and 23, it says, as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. That's okay. Jesus settled down for a nap. But there's a difference, folks, between rest and laziness. Laziness regarding physical work is one thing. Laziness in our spiritual discipline is another thing. They're both important. All right. This laziness leads to compromise in our Christian walk, and this is very dangerous. So, laziness spiritually, when we compromise, you read a little bit less and less of the Word and read more biking magazines or stuff that's of interest to you, stuff that's fun for you. Laziness means when you could be meditating on the Word or just meditating on God and just reflecting His goodness, you park off in front of your screen and you binge watch some awesome series. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? There's a few honest people here. Laziness means when somebody does something wrong to me and I should forgive them and I must forgive them and I know I, but I don't. That's spiritual laziness. Because why? What am I doing then? I'm allowing the enemy to let roots of bitterness and unforgiveness clog up my heart. Spiritual laziness is when you know that you speak faster than you think, even though God has given you two ears and one mouth. And you go around lashing people with your tongue in the name of Jesus, nochal. And not realizing that the scripture says, everybody be slow to speak and swift to hear. Laziness with our tongue in terms of you hear something. And quickly, because it's tasty morsels, the scripture says about gossip, you grab onto it and you start believing it in your heart. Before you've even acted in love, because love gives the benefit of the doubt first. Can you see areas where laziness can creep in? Laziness is when the Spirit of God prompts you to do something and you just ignore Him. Guess what happens? It becomes easier and easier to ignore the Spirit of God, Louis, isn't it so? That's laziness. When you know, like God says to you, you're in the queue at the shopping center and you see the Spirit of God says, pay for that person's trolley. And you say, get behind me, Satan. But the Spirit of God has spoken because you're blessed to be a blessing. And when you ignore that, you become lazy and it becomes easier and easier to be disobedient to the prompting of the Spirit of God in your heart. Laziness. So to recap, these three areas, and I'm done preaching. Can the deep end come up as we get ready to worship the Lord one more time? Are we going to choose Christ or compromise? Three areas that are perhaps more subtle but just as dangerous to the Christian is what I think and what I say. Number two is time management, not using every opportunity that God gives us for kingdom purposes. And last, but by no means least, laziness. So as we stay seated, it's hot. Just relax in the presence of the Lord this morning. And I want you to please do what you can. If it's easy for you to stand or easy for you to sit, that's fine. If you can focus on Jesus more with your eyes open or closed, do whatever it takes. Please just forget about the people around you. As jy langs skattebol sit en bokdrolletjie, los vir skattebol uit vir 'n oomblikie asseblief en vir bokdrolletjie. Los hulle net uit asseblief. That you can focus on Jesus for a moment or six. Is that okay? So hands off and hands up. And as you sit there, just surrender your hands or your heart to the Lord. This is an international sign of surrender. So I would say, stick it up. Your money or your life for your bald-headed wife. Take the wife. Stick it. So hands up as a surrender. Just surrender your heart to the Lord this morning. And please try not to concentrate on the sound of my voice, but listen to what Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. As you sit before Him and say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. That's why I'm here. I've come to church because I want to meet the living God. And Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, I ask you to speak into my life now and show me, Lord, if there's any area of compromise in my life. Whether it's what I think and what I say. Here, as it kom by die bestuur van die tyd wat u my toevertrou het, wat doen ek met daai tyd? En as ek kom by luiheid, Here, as ek bietjie lui is, praat met my, wys my areas in my lewe, geestelik gewys, fisies gewys, waar enige een van die wat ons bespreek het vanoggend van toepassing is op my. En ek vra u God, vergewe my in die naam van Jesus Christus. Ek bely en ek besef, ek is 'n sondaar vanoggend en ek het hulp nodig. Here, ek het die genade nodig. Ek is 'n swakkeling. Jesus Christus, stig my. Gee my krag. Hernie my gees in my vanoggend. Gee vir my 'n smag en 'n honger te na die dinge van die Here soos nog nooit tevore nie. Here, help my. In Jesus se naam. Here, ek soek verandering in my lewe. Ek soek nie nog 'n preek nie en 'n 3-punt sermon. Ek soek werklike verandering en Heilige Gees vrug in my lewe. Daarom is ek hierso vanoggend. Ek soek U aangesig. Heilige Gees, verander my van binne in af. Dankie vir U liefde en dankie vir U genade. In Jesus se naam. Amen. And as we continue to pray, Christians, please just continue to intercede in the spirit now. This is the most critical part of what we've been doing for the last 40 minutes odd. If you're seated here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't know what it's like to know the love of God, and jy's nie seker waar jy die ewige lewe gaan spandeer nie. You're not even sure if you're going to make it to heaven, and you're not sure because of whatever. Maybe the past and your mistakes and the devil. Jy's net nie seker nie. Heilige Gees praat met jou vanoggend, liewe broer, liewe suster. As jy onseker is oor jou saligheid en in jou wandel met die Here, daar waar jy sit, steek net gou jou hand op asseblief. Laat ons daai hand sien. Maak nie saak wie ook al wat sien nie, dis tussen jouself en die Here. If you're unsure of your salvation, raise your hand. These hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Once I've seen you and made eye contact with you, please put your hands down. Bless you guys. Anybody else? Bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Anybody else? One more time. If you're not sure, you just think, you know, maybe there's something in my life where I'm just going to be disqualified in the eyes of God for whatever reason. Raise your hand. Last time. Anybody? Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's stand together, please. Everybody, all of us, whole congregation, let's stand. I'd like us to pray this morning together, the whole congregation, especially the folks that have raised your hands. Please, op jou manier, in your heart, while folks are interceding, pray this morning. If you raise your hand because you're unsure, pray this in your heart to the Lord God this morning. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I believe Jesus, that you are God's Son. I believe it in my heart. And so I speak it with my mouth. And I ask you, God, because Jesus died, his blood was shed, and because he rose again, I believe I can ask you to forgive me. So God, forgive me. In Jesus' name. Of anything I've done, anything that I've thought, and anything that I've spoken that has hurt your heart. Wash me clean today. Make me new and whole again. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Fill my life. Take over my life. Guide my steps, my thoughts, and my actions. for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, this morning, in my heart, I make a commitment to you. Not to a church, but to you. That I will do my best to learn and to grow and to get to know you. And if I do my best, you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, will do the rest all the days of my life. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, for the folks that prayed that prayer, maybe you've prayed that prayer 16 times in your life. Maybe you've prayed it for the first time this morning. Whatever the case, if you have a church that you belong to, please go back to that church and tell them that you made this, you said this prayer, you made a commitment. The scripture teaches what happened. If your prayer was sincere this morning and you had a spiritual connection with the Lord, the scripture teaches this morning, you got born again. Go to somebody and tell them what has happened. You might not have answers. You might not know what John 3:16 is. You might not know the beginning from the end of the Bible. Just say, I gave my heart and my life to Jesus this morning. Tell at least three people, please. And if you've done that several times and you've got a church or whatever, just get somebody to stand in agreement with you to confirm and affirm your renewed commitment to the Lord this morning. Is that okay? And if you've given your heart to Jesus for the first time, Madeleine, please wave your hand. Madeleine at the back at that information desk. Ons wil graag vir jou 'n boekie gee. If you've made the commitment for the first time, we want to give you a book. In English, it's called Knowing and Experiencing God. In Afrikaans, it's called Ken en Ervaar God. Ons wil graag vir jou so 'n boekie gee nie. Moet asseblief, as jy genuine so 'n boekie soek uit nuuskierigheid uit, want jy het niks by die huis om te lees, die huisgenoot is weggegooi, die U-tydskrif koop jy nie, whatever. En jy soek genuine net iets om te lees, kom sien vir Leonie hiervoor, asseblief, Leonie, waar jou hand is, asseblief. Please see Leonie if you want one uit nuuskierigheid, okay. But if you want that bookie, because you've rededicated your life to the Lord, or you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, please make sure that you see Madeleine at the back desk. We'd like to give you that book. That book will help you explain and understand what has happened in your heart this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? Let's give the Lord a loud praise offering for the souls that have entered the kingdom of heaven this morning. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for making the time to listen. Ek weet, it was a long preek. Ek is aan die gang for 43 minutes hier so. Maar is koninkryk sake. By the grace of God, ek sal korte preek volgende naweek. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm looking forward to seeing my friends on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, those who have not yet found their home. The rest of you, do it to them before they do it to you. Show random acts of kindness and let's worship the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go for it, guys.